Good morning and welcome to the Morning Voice, and good morning, Matt Neely.
Hey, you sore from lugging all those Thanksgiving dinners around last week?
There you go.
Man,
we had a great, great, great Wednesday. We took 150 food boxes to six area schools. Big shout out to some of our friends that helped us with that. Of course, the delivery team was Jesse Lugo, Sixto Molina, Val Romero dressed as Elvis. Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance gave us the truck and a couple of drivers.
Hey.
And we got to really thank John Hone, Chef John Hone, at
Hone, I believe.
It's Hone. I don't know why I said that, but
he doesn't care how you say it because the food's great.
Yeah, so exactly. And Greg Ayers and the team at Gap Ministries prepared some wonderful boxes for us. I was thinking back, this is about the sixth or seventh, eighth year now even that we've done this. And it started on a phone call from the Honorable Richard Fimbres, who called me a couple of years ago and asked if I could help him fund about 25 boxes to give to some schools in the southwest side of town. And I said, oh, I could work on it and see if I could get something. And yeah, lo and behold, a few years later, we're 150 boxes and lots of donators, lots of listeners donated, lots of big-time donations. Lots of people gave us 10 boxes. David Quintas gave us 27 boxes. So we had some real good support this year. And I never know when I stick my neck out on the line like that is whether or not we're going to have the money to do it. And lo and behold, every year we've covered all the boxes. It's just an amazing how that happens. And what a generous community. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. I also wanted to acknowledge, you know, U of A, we're going to be talking about Wonder. We got a new Regents professor coming in at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about that. But, man, our athletic teams, the three main ones, the men's basketball team, the women's basketball team, and the football team, just doing great. Oh, my goodness.
Women's basketball was undefeated until last night, I believe. I mean, good for them. It's one loss in the season.
And they were close.
It's a rebuilding year, too.
Yeah, it's a rebuild.
With a new coach and, you know, a lot of players left. And
right. And she's really dynamic. I think they're going to do well. And it's nice to be number two in the nation in men's basketball.
Goodness.
I'll never get to a basketball game this year because they sold out full-time 24/7. But, man, being number two in the nation and good big game coming up on Saturday. That's tomorrow, I guess it is.
Yeah, Auburn. Is it an 8 o'clock or 8:30 game? I got to look that up. I believe it's later than normal on a Saturday, which is a little weird. Saturdays used to be remember you'd get CBS, you know, you get Big Bird Eye in the Sky, it'd be noon games, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the way it used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it used to be back in the day.
Yeah. And then we got the football team. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We'll know Sunday what bowl we're going
to. Who would have seen 9-3 coming?
Wouldn't have guessed it in a million years. And so I wanted to start by talking a little bit about Coaches for Charity and what we do. I was sending out an email this morning to our team of volunteers who help us with a zillion things that we do. And it's amazing when you start listing the things that we do at Coaches for Charity. I will just say that it started 16 years ago, believe it or not. We were working on a project for Lodge at Ventana Canyon, and the general manager challenged Janet Hare, who was the director of marketing, and myself to come up with something that we could do to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Lodge at Ventana Canyon. You know, they own the golf course. They own Ventana Canyon Golf Course. Everybody thinks the hotel owns it, but the Lodge owns it, and that group of people. And so we were going to celebrate the 25th anniversary, and we came up with this concept of a golf tournament. And all 19 coaches at the time from the U of A were going to be part of it with our good friend Jim Livengood. And lots of things happened from the day that was determined till he left the U of A. So we had two golf tournaments. We called them friend-raising tournaments the first time. And then we switched our focus to the Kickoff Classic, which was a high school football doubleheader. The first one was a jamboree, and we had four teams play back-to-back at Tucson High School, and that was a wonderful event. Glenn Kerslake and so many others helped us with that. And from that, we've spun off. Listen to the things that we do. We feed the Pride of Arizona, the U of A marching band, 300 people. For every home game, we feed them. So they're there from early in the morning until late at night. And so when it's a night game or a late afternoon game, we feed them lunch. If it's a mid-afternoon game or even a noon game, we feed them breakfast. And feeding 300 people, I got to figure out how to get the food and figure out who's going to pay for it and who's going to get it there. And so a shout out to Robert Ramos from R&R Family Kitchen, R&R Barbecue, and a special shout out to, believe it or not, Coach Brent Brennan. I've been doing work helping with the U of A band since 1985, helping do different things, sponsorships and so forth. And there's been a lot of coaches at the U of A football during that time. And he's the first guy that he was at the kickoff for the U of A band in August. And he walked by me and said, "Hey, if you need anything, let me know. I'm happy to help." And I said, "Well, we could use some help with feeding the band." And lo and behold, first, you know, these guys are millionaires. First coach that sent me a check. And I about fell off my chair when I got it. And I thought, man, this guy's great. Well, on the check, he said, "If you need any more," I saw him later, and he said, "If you need more, let me know." And guess what? I needed a little bit more. And I went back to him and asked him if I could have a little bit more. And guess what? He came up with it. And I just, that just shows you the quality of a guy that we've got as a head coach to think about those 300 band members and to help feed them. So I want to thank him. So we did feeding the U of A band all through the season. That was fun. We did the Thanksgiving boxes, 150 boxes. I'll talk just a little bit more about that in a minute. Coming up, we've got Winter Haven Parking in a partnership with the Arizona Bowl. About 7 years ago, we started a parking concession at Winter Haven. And so we have a parking right across the street from the main entrance of Winter Haven. And it's a Coaches for Charity event. And our good friends, Lisa Tapia and Jenny Bomsberger, who are the special events parking masters at the University of Arizona, handle that for us. And we make a little bit of money on that, but it's also a good service for the community to get them some convenient parking there. And then coming up on the 27th of December, we're going to be at the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice. You're better at that than I am.
I think that's what it's called.
Snoop and Dre. Gin and Juice.
I need a chroma key teleprompter, you know, with a scroll. I need a teleprompter that has, you know, scroll capability, because it's rather long. Wordy.
So for about the last 10 years, we've been hosting the visiting teams. What that means is our team gets in there and just is hospitable to the teams. Our favorite team so far has been Wyoming. They've come a couple of times, and they bring the whole darn state.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So they'll know on Sunday what their two teams will be. So that'll be cool. So we do that on Arizona Bowl Day. Whew! We got a couple more coming up. We've got the MLK basketball tournament coming up on January 19th. We've got the Roskridge Cougar Classic coming up in the month of February. And in the summertime, we do a bowl-a-thon. So, whew, we've been doing a lot of work with Coaches for Charity, and it seems kind of ironic that we would just have this little charity started to do just a couple of things, and here we've blossomed into all these activities that we do. So
you can't say no, Dr. Ed.
That's part of the problem. It's part of the problem is the people ask me to do stuff, and I say yes, and I guess I should learn how to say no. I don't know how to do that. So you got to help me figure that out. It's worth it though, because we're doing great work in the community. So anyways, I just wanted to talk just a little bit about the Thanksgiving box project, and of course, a couple things that come to mind I do want to thank Gap Ministries for what they did and helping us prepare all of that food. It's amazing, and when you loaded it in the truck, it was amazing. We had a full truck from Tucson Appliance, and thanks to Chris for giving us that truck. But what was really cool about it is we pulled up to a couple of schools. All the schools were very thankful. We went to Utterback first, and Taranika Sanders is the principal. She was hugs around for everybody and telling us how important it was. But one thing that was interesting, we went to Mission View Elementary, and the principal pulled me outside, and she just was so thankful. And she said, you know, 100% of our students here at this school are on free and reduced lunch. And that means that most of them come in for breakfast and most of them come in for lunch every single day. So as I was driving away, we could do 5,000 boxes and maybe not meet the need. And Val was telling me that three of the schools, Utterback, Mission View, and Ochoa, he thinks all three of them are 100% free and reduced lunch. So we're making an impact. So one little cool thing that happened, we went to one of the schools and we got this, it was the school was Santa Cruz School, and the principal got on the intercom and she said, "I'd like to have all the student council please come to the office right now." And so these little kids in their little uniforms, they were cute as a button. They all came up, you know, and they, Johnny on the spot, they got there in less than 2 minutes. It was amazing how fast they got there. And we went outside and took a picture, and she wanted to have them thank us on behalf of the school for all the kids that were getting those boxes. And that was amazingly touching. It was incredible. And the same thing happened at St. John's School. The principal brought a group of little ambassadors. She was kind of like the mother goose, and there was all these little gooselings behind her. And they came over, and they also were just so thankful and just smiles and just were so proud that they were representing the school. And man, all you have to do is be Sixto or Jesse or Val or me and see the impact you make with what just a couple boxes of food means to these kids. And so it's a true partnership. We're excited about it. And want to thank everybody who donated $45. We still can take a few more donations because we could use a few more, but we'll cover it. It'll all be good. If you still want to do that, coachesforcharity.org. We'll come back after the break. Got another project coming up that I want to talk a little bit about. It's the MLK basketball tournament, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus as well. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host for the Friday Success in the first hour and Wonder in the second hour. Standing out in the green room are Alan Michaels and Marie Fordney coming in to talk about the Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center. I want to talk just briefly about Coaches for Charity again on January 19th, which is MLK Day. We have a wonderful basketball tournament, 22 years anniversary of this basketball tournament, which is a wonderful thing. Yeah, we've got schools from all over Southern Arizona competing in games starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, going all the way till about 10, both men's and women's high school teams. We have a little demonstration game early on with elementary schools, first game out of the box, and 8 games, and boys and girls match up from high schools all across Southern Arizona. It's to honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, and each school honors someone who reflects that spirit of inclusion, service, and community impact. And those honorees are given a recognition at halftime of the games. And the students also have a chance to win scholarships from Coaches for Charity for what Martin Luther King Jr. Day means to them and why they would be affected by that. And so we just want to give special appreciation to Tucson Unified School District for helping us sponsor that, and the University of Arizona Department of Athletics, including Vice President of Athletics Desiree Reed Francois, for opening McHale Center for us for this event with a new Big 12 schedule. You know, they play earlier in the week, and so having us take over McHale Center on a full day on a Monday when they need it for practice and other things, especially when even next year they might even have a game that day. So we're thankful that they made it available to us. They moved things around so that we could be there. So thank you to the athletic department. It's so cool to have a college gym like that that's an elite number 2 team in the nation playing there, and our students from across Southern Arizona get to go on and play at a big arena like that. So it's really a cool thing. We have a full day. You can come in for $10 for adults, $6 for students, and it's we call it the best value in town on MLK Day. When you think about it, there's a little parade and there's a breakfast. There's a couple little things going on throughout the day, but there's not much going on MLK Day. So this is like the thing to go see, and you get to see some great basketball, but you also get to support Coaches for Charity mission, and you also get to support student athletes, which is part of our mission of what we do. And it brings together schools, families, coaches, community members from all across the region. And it's a day where we highlight camaraderie and the spirit of Martin Luther King. So that's Monday, January 19th, 2026. We've got a little event coming up next week where we will be getting our committee together to kind of finalize. How can you help? Well, here's one way you can help, Bill Ackerley. One way is to buy an ad in the program, right? So we've got everything from a full-page ad for $1,000 all the way down to a little greeting for $25, and you're looking for as many ads as we can get, right?
Right. If you have a student or somebody who's playing or playing in the band, you can do a shout out in the printed program for just $25. So we're going to try to do a little bit more of that this year.
You could even just say, congratulations, Coaches for Charity, on 22 years or of hosting the MLK. You can say, happy birthday, Benny. Anything you want to say, you know, use your little little words to. But that $25 goes a long way. I know it works because when we were doing the Thanksgiving baskets, those $45 donations add up quickly and cover 150 boxes. So if you're interested in helping, that's one way you can help. And if you want to give us a shout and you want to be part of the day, we take all comers, and anybody that wants to help us with that, that would be great. So that's coming up on the 19th, Coaches for Charity, MLK Basketball Classic. I wanted to touch on one other thing before we get Alan and Marie in to talk about the Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center. As many of you know, our brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, retired from the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus after 45 years at the helm. And there is a new artistic director. His name is Dr. Jordan Rakita. And Bill and I have spent the last couple of weeks, well, actually, last couple of years, to be honest with you, putting together the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus Holiday TV Special. We're proud that it will air Christmas Day at 4 o'clock on Cozy TV and at 4:30 p.m. on KVOA TV4, the NBC affiliate here. It's a beautiful half hour of music to make your holiday unforgettable. It is filmed. There's selections that were filmed at White Stallion Ranch, Hacienda del Sol, Corpus Christi Catholic Church, the Pistoleros Wild West stage at Trail Dust Town. And we just filmed three songs at the Catalyst Creative Collective up at Arch State, Arizona, up in the Tucson Mall. A beautiful, beautiful facility. Kevin Larkin and his team did a great job. So we have Dr. Jordan Rakita with three of the songs from that historic holiday program. So we're really excited about that, and he'll be here. We have Dr. Jordan Rakita. We'll introduce him to the world here next Friday. He'll be here to talk about his tenure as the new director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, and they've got a big concert coming up on the 13th at Crowder Hall at the University of Arizona. And so we're pretty excited about this TV program. And the reason I bring it up is, guess what? We're looking for Jim Livengood once told me, he said, Ed, don't worry. He says, you come into my office every couple of weeks with a tin cup asking for support. And you know, I was feeling bad about it. And he said to me, he said, you know what? We're glad when you come, because we get 100 requests a day for people to sponsor stuff. We have no idea who they are, what they're going to do with it. Take the ball and autograph ball and sell it on eBay. We have no idea what they're going to do with it. But he says, Ed, when you come into my office and ask me for something, we know the money's going to go where you say it's going to go. And so we're more than happy to give
you.
That's
cool.
Yeah, that's a neat thing. So here's what we're asking. We need some sponsors for the holiday program TV. So if you're a business and you want to help us out and put your name on the back end of the credits of the Boys Chorus Holiday Program, which will air on Christmas afternoon, you could have your family gather around and watch some great Christmas music and listen to it, and then put your name in lights, and I think that would be great. So we have sponsorships available, as little as $500, and we hope that you can do that. And we also want to just mention that their Christmas tree lot is now open. We'll talk about that with Jordan, but if you're looking for a Christmas tree, 5770 East Pima, that's been in business for years, and they got beautiful trees. Doubletree Hotel just bought a 25-footer.
Oh my goodness.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely
stop
gorgeous.
By and see it. It's right on the street.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And then it's a good time to join the chorus. If you're a young guy and want to start in the new generation with Dr. Jordan Rakita, now's the time. Give them a call. And so we've got a lot going on. But again, their Boys Chorus concert is coming up on December 13th, 3 p.m. at Crowder Hall. You can get tickets for that. $20 gets you in to hear some live Christmas music from all of the choirs, including the Young Men's Ensemble, all the way down to the little guys that are 6, 7, 8 years old. It's kind of a beautiful concert, lots of wonderful songs. And then, of course, on Christmas Day, this tradition that we've been carrying on for the last few years, I do want to thank Russell True, White Stallion Ranch, for letting us invade their ranch and get some beautiful, beautiful stuff there. We got some great songs out at Hacienda del Sol, and we also got some wonderful stuff at Corpus Christi Catholic Church. The sacred stuff is in a space that is pretty cool. And then, of course, these new music that we got from Dr. Jordan Rakita. So if you're interested, give us a call. Let us know. Call Matt. Call me. Call Bill. Call somebody. We need some help. We need some businesses to help us sponsor this, so give us a shout. Happy holidays, and we'll talk with Marie and Alan coming up here after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice.
Okay.
We've got Alan Michaels in here just rocking away to
You got
music.
The Beatles. How can you not?
I know. When we changed formats on that one station, you played that one song for, what was it, 4 days?
It was Twist and Shout.
Twist and Shout.
We played it for four days.
It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Every single song for 4 days.
4 days. That's right.
Oh, my God.
I loved it.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Coming up, the Beatles, Twist and Shout. That was the Beatles, Twist and Shout, and coming up, more Beatles after this.
Good morning, Alan Michaels. How are you, my friend?
We're great, Dr. Ed. How you doing, buddy?
We love to have you on The Morning Voice. We love to hear your voice. We love to have you in our studio. And we even like to have the pajama clad. You are on Facebook this morning. And YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you're live.
That's amazing.
You are live right now. So there she is waving at
it's
you.
It's pajama day. It's a great place to work. We're having Spirit Week.
Marie Fortney is the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. And congratulations to Alan Michaels. He's been promoted. We'll say you've been promoted to bagging sandwiches in the parking lot.
No.
Oh, you've seen me.
Yeah.
Now the major gifts officer at the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona.
And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
It's just a different position at the CAC that I think I'm better suited for.
Yeah, you know, polishing those gold bricks as they come in, right? Yeah, that's a good thing. You're good at that. Well, Marie, lots of people know about you, but a lot of people don't know about what's going on. Before we could talk about the Children's Advocacy Center, just tell us a little bit about Marie Fortney, because we all know about Alan Michaels, but you're a longtime Tucson. I didn't put that on the list of questions.
You didn't. Wow, it's so not
about
me. How'd
you get to be the director?
Thank you. That's a way better question. So I actually came from the world of prevention, and I was working with youth who were doing things that we call risky or problem behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that that is always a response to trauma. And those are their coping skills. They're not good coping skills, but that's what they're trying to do. And so when the opportunity came to work at the Children's Advocacy Center, I really jumped on that because it's a unique opportunity to change the path for these young people before they get into those risky behaviors and have those negative consequences.
How long have you been there?
7.5 years now.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And I didn't think I knew you when you were just a little girl. So
you did.
I knew Alan when he was just a little boy, too. So, Alan, how long have we known each other? 45 years, maybe?
At least,
When did you get here?
1979.
Yeah, so almost 50 years, 47 years, yeah. Yep. So amazing. Gosh, time flies, doesn't it?
We've done a lot of things together over the years.
One of the things that we started, this is a great trivia thing. Do you know those tailgate parties at the University of Arizona football games?
Yeah.
That was you?
You're looking at the two of us that put that together.
That's right.
They did not have any of those. It was fend for yourself, go out and stake a claim and homestead a space, and Alan and his station and Coors and Jim and Larry from Subway, we would cordon off snow fence about 3 miles in front of McHale Center.
That's right.
And we'd get there at 4 a.m. and we'd have the 80% of the people that came to our tailgate never went to the football game.
Exactly. I gave up my season tickets.
Right.
Just so I could sit around, have Subway sandwiches and Coors Light.
and then the U of A came to me and asked me how we did that. How did we get Coors Light involved? How did we get Alan Michaels involved? How did we get Subway involved? How did all that happen? How do you get the space and everything? And now they're selling it for $9 million an acre foot here. So anyways, that's our little thing, claim to fame. We started tailgate parties at the U of A.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
We did
a
lot of things together, and for that, I'm grateful because we've remained very close friends all these years.
I have a really funny story to tell you about Roger DeMiner real quick, and then we'll get going into CAC. But Roger was the general manager of
Pierce.
Air Pierce Company and the Coors Light. And his wife and he would buy lottery tickets, and so they bought these lottery tickets on Saturday night, and wake up Sunday morning, and he looks at the paper. He goes down to Circle K, and he buys one for the next week, matching the numbers of the ones that they for the night before. And so she wakes up, "We won, honey, we won, honey." And the numbers matched, they all matched. It's because he had gone and bought next week's numbers and she didn't check the date. And so what a character that guy was. He was funny. So that's the kind of people we worked with, those crazy people. So we talked about you. Let's talk about the mission first of the Child Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona and important work that you do there.
We provide a safe, compassionate, healing environment for children who've been a victim or a witness to crime. And what that means really is that we provide healing services for children who've been abused. And our goals are to ensure every child has the safety they need to tell their story, that they and their families get services that they need to heal, and to work collaboratively with our partners so that abusers can be held accountable.
That's great. And it's a safe place for families and kids and people that are facing that kind of trauma in their life. It's a great place to have some love. And it's not one of those places where people can come in and tour and walk around and see all the kids and everything. It's kind of, it's very... protected, isn't it? It's a protected, safe space.
Yeah. It is very protected and safe, but we do provide tours when there aren't any kids there. And we love for people to get tours because it sounds like, you know, working with children who've been abused sounds like it would be really depressing. But I mean, it's pajama day today. It is a fun, happy place.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. We're going to talk about your holiday gift drive and some other things here after we go to a break. But Alan, talk to us a little bit about this wonderful event that you have in the spring called Heroes Without Capes and what you do there.
Well, what we have is our annual Heroes Without Capes, which is coming up on Friday, April 10th at the Hilton El Conquistador Resort on North Oracle Road. What we do is we award the men and women in the community that are deserving of awards that help prevent abuse to children.
That's great.
And we do that by nominations, and we have a nice dinner, and we have some silent auctions and raffle prizes, and we have some of the stories. And it's a beautiful event, and we look forward to having many more people attend that event. It's only been going on for a few years, 3 years. Mm-hmm.
This will be our fourth year.
Fourth year coming up, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for people to come to the event and see what the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona is all about. And you'll get a chance to meet a lot of people and also listen to some of the stories, which is heartbreaking.
That's amazing. You know, Tucson is such a giving community. I was just spent the first half hour talking about the Thanksgiving boxes that we distributed and talking about feeding the band all the things that Coaches for Charity does over the years. And the community is so giving and so wonderful. So you're going to be the concentrating on the larger gifts, and you're going to get somebody to help with the smaller stuff and so forth. But how important is this community support that you get?
Well, we can't do what we do, or I should say the staff can't do what we do without the support of the community, because child abuse happens in our community, even though many of us do not want to accept that fact.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. And at least the children and the families have a place to go at the Children's Advocacy Center, because we're the only ones in Tucson and Southern Arizona that do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And without us, it will go unnoticed. It will go untreated.
Mm-hmm.
And the children cannot be children again if we are not there to help them through this.
So getting this support, Marie, is really important to have the community step up and really support this good work. God forbid your child be one of the ones that's involved in these terrible situations. But we can make them whole again by doing good work, what your staff does, right?
For sure. I've been thinking a lot about this little girl named Haley, who she came to us severely underweight because her parents were not allowing her to eat. And so a teacher finally realized it, and law enforcement in DCS brought her to the center for an interview and an exam. And it's just so important that we can provide that forensic evidence collection, because we can do it in a way that doesn't further traumatize Haley.
Right.
You know, she didn't have to tell her story to someone with a gun and a badge. She didn't have to go to an emergency room. She got to come to our warm, child-friendly pajama day center and, you know, get her care from professionals who do this every day. This is what they do. And our focus is always on healing for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
and
in her
that has a ripple effect, though, too, because it heals the family and even out into the broader community. And
so her situation, actually, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
In Haley's situation specifically, her foster mom, her new foster mom, had to be taught kind of how to start feeding her again. Mm. You know, your body can really, she could have ended up in the hospital if you don't do that right. So we gave her that support. And then one of the awardees from several years ago, her job is as a social worker to support foster and kinship and adoptive parents like Haley's new foster mom. I saw her recently. It's funny you mentioned Thanksgiving because I just saw her recently. She was getting turkeys for the foster families that she works with. And, you know, she just makes sure that she brings them to our parenting classes because a kid like Haley is going to be different. You know, she's been traumatized by her parents. Right. And so you can't just discipline her in a traditional way.
Right.
A lot of skills and support that those families need. And you're right, that has a ripple effect. Haley is now a healthy weight. She's caught up again academically. She's a new person. And so she can impact all her friends around her. And that foster mom is able to take in other kids as well. And the rest of us benefit from that. You know, those kids don't, kids like Haley then, with the right support, they don't have substance use issues. They don't get arrested for things because they're acting out in the way that I used to work to prevent. So.
Right, right. Well, that's a great story. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about your holiday gift drive and your Pilates for the future and a little bit more about Heroes Without Capes. We're listening to two wonderful people. If you hear their golden tones, one is Marie Fordney, the executive director, and the other is Alan Michaels, the longtime radio. How long were you on the radio? 40 years?
45 years, but 45. Who's counting?
Who's counting, yeah. Well, I was.
And some this surprise coming up, too, down the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going to take over the show between 12 and noon is what we were talking about. I mean,
no.
12 and noon. 12 and 1 is what I meant. So we were laughing about that earlier. So, hey, this is the Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break and talk with Marie and Alan about the Child Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. Happy holidays.
Along, you get green. That's George Harrison's.
We were getting a stereo concert, were we not, Marie? We were hearing it on the radio.
No, Michaels may have been there when that song was recorded. You can hear him if you listen real carefully.
We heard you on that one because we turned your mic on. I had him turn your mic on while you were singing away. So.
It's not the first time.
Yeah.
We've done that over the years.
Yeah, that's great.
We're fortunate enough to be at the George Harrison concert for Bangladesh back in Madison Square Garden back in August of 71.
Yeah.
Tickets were $4.50. And that is the truth. Seeing Ringo and George and Eric Clapton and Leon Russell and Bob Dylan and Badfinger.
You know, we have a connection to the Beatles with Paul McCartney living here. Not living here, but have a house here and marrying a young lady from Tucson and spending much of their time off time with family here.
Yeah.
It sure would be great if one of those Beatles would come back to Tucson and do a concert here sometime in the near future. So.
Like Ringo Starr and his all-star band on Wednesday, June 3rd.
Oh, that's great.
Coming up.
We were just talking about maybe doing a little fundraiser in association with that to help CAC, so we'll see if we can pull something off. So it'll be interesting. Our guests this morning are Marie Fordney, the executive director of the Child Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. Again, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You look great in your pajamas.
Explain what's going on at the Children's Advocacy Center this entire week.
Yeah.
Well, we just do Spirit Week around different holidays all the time. So this week, let's see, yesterday we made snowflakes.
Oh, cool.
Today's pajama day, as you can see, but Alan didn't participate. So
that's what he sleeps in. That's what he sleeps in. What are you talking about? He sleeps in a suit. So
the only guy that has pajamas that the collar turns up on.
That's probably true.
Thanks, Matt.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You taught me that back in the 70s. So I gave you one. I told me my little boys, now they're 40, 33, and 30, but when they were little guys, they looked forward to Spirit Week. The thing they loved the most was Backwards Day.
Yeah.
They got to put their shirt on backwards, their pants on backwards, or, you know, the shoes they couldn't put on backwards, but they'd mess around when they put one shoe on and another one another way, and they just had a blast with Backwards Day. They thought that was so cool. So,
I like that one.
Yeah.
We're going to add it to the mix. It's a good idea.
The little kids would think it would be hilarious. You know, they would love it. So our other guest is the golden tones of Alan Michaels on the air for umpteen years here in Tucson. And what station did you start with? And
790 Mighty Casey.
790 Mighty Casey. Was Eddie A on with you at that time?
No, he wasn't. Then it went to Cool 790, then 92.9 Cool FM, and then Cool 1450.
Yeah, we used to laugh when you went to the format, went to country for about 15 minutes one time.
Coyote Country 92.9 FM.
We called you Dusty Chaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dusty Chaps is on the air, so.
There you go.
I made that name up. That's not what he was named.
No.
It wasn't his name. But we used to see him out at events, which, hey, there's Dusty Chaps. So let's talk about a couple of other things you have going on the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona during the holidays here. First off, let's talk about this event first, the Pilates for Their Future. That's on Sunday, December 7th, 8:30 to 11. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event, the first ever at La Encantada this coming Sunday at La Encantada at Sunrise in Campbell. We want to thank the great people over at Avida at La Encantada for putting it all together. We're going to be there. It's going to be a Pilates for the future. Now, for those of you who do not know what Pilates is, be prepared. It is it is a stretching. Help me, Marie, because if I were to do this, I'd be in traction, as I told you.
I actually am looking forward to trying Pilates for the first time. My understanding is that you use your own body weight to strengthen and
that's the secret, right?
And tone your body. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm expecting lots of planks, which I need. So, and the Aveda, but also Kendra Scott and Friday Pilates and Athleta, they're all, aren't they all doing discounts? And
yes,
there's
they
a
are.
Raffle.
Yeah, we get like a certain percentage of anything you buy after the Pilates event on Sunday. Begins at 8:30. Get there early. Now, you bring a toy. Please bring a toy or an item that a teenager would like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need most, honestly, what we need the most right now are pajamas for teenage. That's so ironic.
Yes, it is. Pajamas. It's true. Yeah, you're right.
But that is the thing we're really missing is pajama, like adult-sized pajamas, essentially, for older teens who fit into adult sizes already. So
that's interesting that you would be wearing pajamas.
I know,
that
that's true. I didn't do that on purpose, I swear.
Yeah. Well,
and electronics, too, for the teenagers, too.
I don't want to, I may be wrong here, but what if you're like me and don't know what a teenager wants in this day and age? Can I give you a gift card or money and say, you guys go shop for me, please, kind of thing?
You can go on Amazon. You can go on the Amazon.
Oh, Amazon.
Yeah, there's an Amazon wish list. But also, you can just make a donation and you can make, even if you do it online, if you can't make it to Pilates, if you put the note that it's for the holidays, then we'll use it specifically for that.
And you're looking for holiday gifts, get them in. We need those, right?
Yes, we do. And please, if you get a chance, come out this Sunday at La Encantada beginning at 8:30. Get there early. We'll be there at the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. Own a tent or go online at CACSOAZ and please.org and please donate and help the Children's Advocacy Center. Do what we do.
Thank you, Marie Fordney. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you,
Alan. We'll have you back for Heroes Without Capes after the new year.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Merry Christmas. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is the second hour on Friday where we concentrate on wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. When I ran for a mayor, I had people pin me up against the wall and say, these are all the terrible things that are going on in Tucson and you need to fix all these things. And they would go on for quite a while about that, and then I would say to them, why are you still here? And they would flood me with wonderful things about all the good things going on in Tucson. And that's what The Morning Voice is about, is to talk about the good things going on in Tucson, specifically this hour about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. People drive down Speedway, see those red brick buildings over there, and they have no idea what's going on back there and all the wonderful things that are happening to affect humankind and history and culture and life in our old Pueblo. And the voluminous research that has been done over the years and continues to be done at the University of Arizona in a really positive, meaningful way. And so that's what the Morning Voice is all about, and wonder on Friday. And we're pleased to have us in the studio this morning Dr. Linda Bixby. She's the Chief Research Partnerships Officer. Congratulations on your new appointment, and welcome to the Morning Voice.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and especially a pleasure to be at the University of Arizona.
It's a wonderful place. Go Cats. I'm a graduate of the U of A. I teach at the Eller College. I've been there for 35 years, and This is a wonderful, wonderful university, and it doesn't hurt that our football team and our basketball teams are doing really well too, so it kind of makes it kind of nice. But you know what else is doing really well is research at the University of Arizona. So how would you describe your role in terms of this research partnerships, and what is your challenge here as you move into your new position?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, this is a new position, but Arizona is definitely not new to me. I have the privilege of being a fifth-generation Arizonian. Mm-hmm. My family actually came here in 1870, well before Arizona even became a state. You know, we were in the ranching business and have continued to be so in all of the years after that. I actually grew up and was born and raised here in Arizona in Gila County in a ranching family. And not only do I have a legacy in Arizona, but also at the University of Arizona. My grandmother went here, my dad, my sisters, and I have 2 degrees from here. As you say, that you're also an alum. So as far as why I'm here and, you know, what I am doing, I was actually a career intelligence community. So after I graduated with my great foundation that was provided to me here with my studies, I went into government and in national security. So in this season of my career, I received a call from leadership here asking if this would be the great opportunity for me to come. So I did. And research is my area.
Tomas, was he the guy? Yeah. He was here. He was sitting in that seat not too long ago. Yeah.
So yeah. I was asked to consider to come here with all of the great experience that I was able to do throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do in the area of research.
That's great. Who do you work with in this endeavor? Are you working with industry, government, nonprofits, other universities? Who are you working with?
Well, I work from both ends. I work directly with all of our faculty and the great researchers that we have at University of Arizona, but I also work directly with all of the different research partners that we have. You know, I think what is very important is that, you know, the challenges that we have today need to be solved. And that's what research does. But we bring together what the government priorities are, what industry capabilities, what philanthropic investment and academic innovation. You've got to bring all of those together to solve some of these really, really tough challenges that are here in Tucson, in Southern Arizona, throughout the United States and also the world. And that is happening through our research here.
That's great. We kind of touched on this, but these research partnerships ultimately benefit not only Tucsonans and Arizonans and Americans and the world, but they also can benefit students too with student participation in some of the research, and just having a Research One University here in Arizona, being the University of Arizona, it's a pretty important thing for both not only the region, but also for Tucsonans, Arizonans, and students.
Well, as you mentioned, University of Arizona is really our flagship land-grant university. So we impact so many different areas. I mean, we're in every county, all 15 counties. So, you know, University of Arizona, we are definitely a bedrock here in Arizona. But you mentioned our students. Our undergraduate students are really critical to the university and also to research. You know, these students are coming hungry to do good in the world. So they're here and they're seeing these different things that they're learning and how they can then apply them. So, you know, my responsibility is to take these big ideas that they have and that our community has, take them from the research lab and really have them be applied to real world applications so that we can solve some of these tough challenges. And these tough challenges have to do with some things that affect us directly here in Arizona and in Southern Arizona. It has to do with water. Or increasing with our temperature increase and vulnerable populations and vulnerable infrastructure that we need to resolve. So that's what these undergraduate, graduate faculty are doing.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at the Banner Cancer Center up on Campbell and Allen Road there, and I was pulling out of the parking lot and I was waiting for cars to go by. And this was right when the national, the federal administration was cutting back on university funding and so forth. And cutting programs right and left and partnerships. And as I'm driving out, I'm right in front of me is the Carl Hayden Bee Center, where they do all this research on bees. And, you know, why is that important? You know, who cares about bees? You know, let's defund them. And then I got to thinking about probably every product in a grocery store, bees affect, and how important it is for us to do research with bees and keep that going, and how important decisions made other places, how that affects research partnerships. And so having great relationships with government and with other constituents is a really, really powerful thing. Do you have in your little time you've been here, about a month or so, a little bit more than that, any highlight of research partnerships that could capture what you're trying to do here that you can think of that maybe would kind of exemplify this working together that you're talking about?
Well, as far as, all the different things that we're doing with small businesses, medium mm-hmm. size, and also large industry partners, you know, I think of one of the first things that I did when I arrived here was we had a great convening, and I call it a convening because convenings are really discussions and resolving problems with Honeywell. Mm-hmm. Honeywell brought 30 of their top leaders, and then we pulled together, you know, our top faculty. And we had a full day where we did a brainstorming session, and they presented some of their gaps, and mm-hmm. then we had the professors and faculty then, like, you know, jump up and say, but we have a solution to this. And so even just yesterday in meeting with my team of saying where we're going with that, and then Honeywell also just has such a strong history with University right. of Arizona of donating manufacturing and different things that we can then do our research. And kind of as a teaser, there's going to be an announcement pretty soon of something that Honeywell is doing with okay. University of Arizona. So I think that is extremely encouraging. Some of the other partnerships that we're having, for example, next week, we have the Australian Consul General and her Chief of Staff coming. Mm. And so she, and together with the Chamber of the Southwest, we're hosting them here next week. And we're bringing in, they want to discuss mining, and they also want to meet with our Native Nations Institute. Those are some of the things that are extremely important. So we're yeah. going to see some of the Australian needs, especially in the area of mining, and seeing how we can resolve those. But we also have, for example, fusion energy is extremely important to us. And I just met yesterday with one of a very, very important mid-sized business who's planning on moving here and helping to set up different things. So those are the kind of things that we're doing, but also in the community. We have community reaching to us with some of their big ideas, and we're helping to resolve those.
Yeah, that fusion could be the answer in the future for part of our energy solutions. So yeah. You're listening to Linda Bixby. She is Dr. Linda Bixby. She is the Chief Research Partnerships Officer at the University of Arizona. And this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things, and you're one of those good things that we're talking about. So when we talk about partnership, you touched a little bit on the Native American and the indigenous thing. This whole concept of bridging those differences of culture and mining versus sacred lands and those kind of things, you kind of have to navigate a lot of, when you're bringing a bunch of constituents together to have them be part of this process, you have to be really skillful in, so you're a relationship officer and trying to bring these together. So how do you manage those different diverse populations and cultures and people coming together, people from other parts of the world, like Australia and so forth, to bring them together to all come up with a solution?
These are definitely challenges. But every time I see a challenge, I see an opportunity. And with opportunities, I think the strong foundation for that is to really come with respect, come with understanding, and come with flexibility, because there is not one solution.
Right.
That is why you have to, convergence is a term that's extremely important to me, because convergence means bringing all the different ideas and all the different concerns together and coming up with solutions that can satisfy almost every area. You know, sometimes there's also some things that are still can be challenges and opportunities. But I think when I think of partnerships, I think of communications mm-hmm. and I think of discussions, and you have to listen and get those out there and then come up with the solutions that can really satisfy everyone.
So you're really in a, your job is relationship management, but also leadership in that area to try to bring these diverse viewpoints together and come up with solutions that are, maybe challenges in the marketplace or in the academia or wherever it would be, but to bring those all together and to spur this innovation that results in, good things for not only people who are concerned about that specific vertical, but it helps the whole entire, when you foster good research, It benefits everybody.
Yes. So
that's a powerful thing. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking with Dr. Linda Bixby. She's the Chief Research Partnership Officer. Our good friend Phil Villarreal is also here, and a good friend from KGUN and the newspaper over the years. And we'll come back and talk a little bit more about research and partnerships at the University of Arizona. You're listening to Wonder on The Morning Voice. Merry Christmas, and welcome back to The Morning Voice. It's nice to hear a Charlie Brown Christmas song. Speaking of that and Christmas music, Dr. Bixby, I just want to give you a couple of tickets to the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus holiday concert called Merry and Bright coming up next weekend, and enjoy that. Welcome to Tucson Boys Chorus and the good things going on there. We're talking with Dr. Linda Bixby. She is the Chief Research Partnership Officer at our wonderful University of Arizona Research One Institution, land-grant university, where research is the number one thing after student success. I always like to put in that students are the important part, and then research and all the good things we do in research. We hear a lot about innovation, commercialization, helping ideas move from the lab to the marketplace. How does research partnerships play into that process?
Well, you know, I think for entrepreneurs, one of the things that they are concerned about is what they call the valley of death. The valley of death is really the great ideas that these entrepreneurs have or these researchers have that lack funding, that lack funding to get over that gap,
right,
to really have that commercialized. So I think for research partnerships, it's extremely important to bring together venture capitalists and other ways of funding that research to get over that valley of death, because there's so much research that's being done that really needs to commercialize, but they need that funding in order to do that.
Right. So that answers one of the questions then is, you know, what are some of the biggest challenge that you'll face building and sustaining long-term relationship partnerships? And of course, funding is one of them. But what as you move in the next couple of years in your tenure here, what are you looking for in the future that might be a challenge that you're going to try to have to overcome? Funding is one, but is there other challenges?
You know, as I mentioned before, you know, for me, challenges are opportunities. I'm a very positive, forward-leaning person. So I think these opportunities that we have to fill some of these gaps, you know, we here at University of Arizona have Tech Launch Arizona.
Right.
And we have different ways where we really take the research that we have and we're able to commercialize that. So I think in some of the areas that they deal with and that we deal with, to make sure that we can take, you know, these great ideas from the research lab into, you know, real world applications, is that, you know, pulling together the entities that are that most important, because to really resolve and to really to commercialize some of this research, you need to come from all different areas. Interdisciplinary, you need to have the right CEOs, you need to have the right financial people involved. That's where, you know, Eller for us is extremely important with such a strong business and management school. So I think that having those type of things that are coming in, as well as you have like the anthropologists, the psychologists, you have all of the different areas that need to come and converge together to make that successful. So, you know, we did talk about the financial side, but having the right talent, you know, when you talk about talent and innovation, you can't have innovation without the talent. Where does that come from? It comes from the minds of people. And that's why I think you just mentioned, you know, at University of Arizona, our students is really, you know, what we do. Right. And what they do is they are the great minds of the future. I mean, they are really the next generation, the workforce of the future.
Right.
So I think that that's what we need to do. Continue to focus on those students to fill a lot of those gaps.
That's Dr. Linda Bixby. She is the Chief Research Partnership Officer at the University of Arizona. So we talked a little bit about fusion. We talked a little bit about water. And of course, University of Arizona is one of the stalwart astronomy capitals of the world, and been on every single NASA mission since its inception. And but looking ahead 5 to 10 years, what kind of research partnerships do you want to concentrate on? And what's the university looking for, both locally and nationally, regionally? Of what kind of things are you looking for in terms of building these relationships and partnerships?
It's always important to look 5 and 10 years out, to really be anticipatory, to really see, you know, what type of research do we need to do now to really satisfy those needs in the future. But, you know, 5 and 10 years from now, you actually can't structure going from A to B to C.
Right.
Life is nonlinear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, life is nonlinear. We actually have five strategic initiatives that we have mm-hmm. that we're focusing on in research. But the thing is that we're not wedded to those. We are today because we know and we anticipate that that's what's needed in the future. As you were mentioning, you know, fusion energy. Another one is space and mm-hmm. national security. We have AI and health. We have arid agriculture and water.
Right.
You know, we have all of these different areas that we're focusing on now. But what's important for us is to continue to understand that we also need to pivot as we continue to go. Down the path for 5 or 10 years, you have to continually have those discussions and those partnerships. And as I mentioned, what are the government priorities? What are the mm-hmm. industry capabilities? And continue to pivot to ensure. But when I look at the future, I look forward to the future where we have clean, sustainable, inexpensive nuclear energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and doing that research today here at University of Arizona is going to reduce the national security issues. It's right. all integrated. It's going to be helping with health issues. You're going to be, you know, all of these different things. And then when I think of, you mentioned, you know, arid lands, water, when we, like what we're doing in research down in Yuma, it's just extraordinary to see that, you know, the leafy vegetables that we have throughout from, let's just say, from November to March, 90% of our leafy vegetables are coming from Yuma that feeds
right.
all of North America.
Right.
And the research that we're doing, we not only want to feed North America, we want to feed the world. So these are the things that we're looking at 5 and 10 years from now.
Really exciting stuff. Yeah. So for listeners who may run a business, have a nonprofit, a civic organization, what's the best way for them to explore partnering with the University of Arizona on research projects?
Well, that's probably one of the easiest questions you've given to me today, because I can say, reach to me.
Mm-hmm.
Reach to me. I am really the open door that can get them to the areas where they need to go within the University of Arizona to really do some of their research and to have those really strong partnerships. You can also go to our website. You can mm-hmm. sign up for our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
You would consistently get all of the newest research and all of the newest innovations that we're doing at University of Arizona. And even most recently when we had, it was earlier this week, we had our advisory board for our research advisory board come from all over the United States, really top leaders in industry and in government. They were here and they were just continually astounded mm-hmm. about the great things that we're doing. But I would just really recommend people coming to our website, getting our newsletter, and then really giving me a call so that I can direct you in the right direction.
And nothing is too small and nothing is too big. You can do everything, no matter what size and what you never know when a little small company working out of a garage is going to turn into Apple computers or something major that everyone is familiar with. You just never know what grows out of these research opportunities. This is called Wonder, and we're giving homage to the campaign that's been going on for about 5 years. I know that Vice President Johnny Cruz is now on board, and it's going to be the 100-year anniversary of Bear Down Arizona next year, and the marketing campaign is going to change. Maybe we'll have to change and call this Bear Down Arizona Hour, but we call it Wonder. So I ask the guests, what's one thing that you think is full of wonder at the University of Arizona? Anything that you can think of that either your historical perspective from being here for a couple degrees, or now that you're employed as the in the research part of the university, what's one thing that's full of wonder?
Full of wonder, it's our people.
Mm.
I mean, you know, when I met with President Garamella
mm-hmm.
In September, and he was talking to me about his priorities and asking if I would consider coming here and serving with him and with the rest of the faculty. I mean, coming from the top, I mean, he is really a person who motivates all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He has very strategic direction. He's very passionate, and he cares about our students.
That's great.
And I would just say our people, and that really comes from the top of how much we care for each other, how much we work together, and also this whole interdisciplinary approach,
right,
where we are not stovepiped in our colleges. We work together.
That's awesome.
For these big solutions. So
thank you, Dr. Linda Bixby, Chief Research Partnerships Officer at the University of Arizona. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll come back with one of our newest Regents professors at the University of Arizona. Merry Christmas to you. It's a pleasure meeting you, and welcome to the University of Arizona.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder on The Morning Voice, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. It was nice to talk with Dr. Linda Bixby, who is the Chief Research Partnership Officer, doing relationship building with the wonderful researchers at the U of A, with governments, funding, philanthropy, and so forth, which leads us to the next guest, who is, first off, we just want to say congratulations to Dr. John Wu, who is with the College of Humanities East Asian Studies. But most importantly, he's a brand new Regents professor at the University of Arizona. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. This is The Morning Voice, and welcome to you, Dr. Wu.
Thank you, Ed. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, congratulations on being named a Regents Professor. That's the highest faculty honor at the University of Arizona. It was really fun and unique to be at the Luminaries Award not too long ago, and to have you be honored by President Garamella and the academic community for your expertise and for the good things that you're doing in your research. And so just congratulations to you on that high honor. Very well deserved. So you direct the Center for Buddhist Studies at the University of Arizona. What is the center's mission, and why is a dedicated Center for Buddhist and East Asian Religious Studies important here in Tucson?
So I'm director of the Center for Buddhist Studies. We founded this center almost 8 years ago in 2017. So at that time, we have been thinking about what kind of a center we want, because we want to develop a program, we want to reach out to people and preserve the Buddhist heritage. So first of all, I think the center is for research, for learning, and for community. So the mission, first of all, we want to preserve the Buddhist heritage in the world, such as the Buddhist canon, Buddhist rare texts.
Right.
Yes. So second, we want to do edge-cutting research, so such as using geographical information system, for example, to study the distribution of Buddhist temples. Third, we want to reach out to the community to improve communities' health, people's health, and also spiritual and mental wellness. So put it together, in the past 8 years, we've been doing quite a bit of programs, lecture series, we attract funding, and doing interesting stuff. So throughout the years, I think we have been so far successful.
Yeah. You're not a Buddhist. I'm not a Buddhist. We were talking about that the other day when I was in your office. But this center and studying Buddhism, you actually, at the Luminaries Award, they kind of highlighted you as being, if not not one of, but perhaps the expert on these Buddhist texts and
yes,
categorizing them and getting them into
right,
a way. So tell us a little bit about, how did you become such an expert in Buddhism and the Buddhist texts?
Yeah.
And to make that, you've just been working with it, but pretty impressive that you were able to grab hold of that, and now all of a sudden right, you're like the leading expert in the world.
Yeah. I grew up reading books, so I like reading books. I think I was a thinker, and I always tried to figure out what is the myth of the universe, you know, so a lot of the human interactions,
right,
what's behind. So throughout the way I study philosophy, for example, is the closest to religion, to Buddhism. So I studied Buddhism, felt attracted first by Zen Buddhism, for mm-hmm, example. And of course, as mentioned, I read lots of books, and the Buddhist canon basically is a collection of Buddhist books, Buddhist scriptures. And it's very interesting to see how Buddhist knowledge, Buddhist wisdom have been organized into a systematic way. So in that kind of a manner, I get into this field, try to combine different kind of methodology, including digital book history, for example, to study Buddhist canon. This is similar to study the biblical tradition, the Bible, right? So there are a couple of major world religions. They are all book religions, right? They're based on the book.
Interesting.
So studying books, studying religious books, sacred texts, that seems to be one of the cornerstones of religious studies. So I get into the field and I study the Buddhist canon throughout the years. So I'm writing a book, basically, try to figure out the modern transformation of a Buddhist text, Buddhist canon in today's world.
Interesting. You know, you wrote a book called Leaving for the Rising Sun. You explore the authenticity crisis in early modern East Asia. Without getting too technical, how would you explain to a lay audience the central question or mystery you were trying to investigate in that work?
Yeah. I think the central question is basically philosophical. Think about the concept of authenticity. So we deal with it on a daily basis. So who are we, and are we authentic ourselves? And in the business field, there's authentic leadership, right? So you want to be a leader, you want to be an authentic person. So for a culture, for institution, the same question, right? So is this what we're doing is authentic to our ideal, to our goal, to the definition of this institution? So that happened in the 17th century China. It's a political kind of a authenticity and also cultural authenticity. Is this culture, for example, still Chinese culture? And also, of course, religious authenticity. So I study this time period, study a monk going to Japan, and also brought Chinese ideal of authenticity to Japan. Of course, you can imagine in a foreign land, he met with challenges, crisis, so lots of going on. And I define that time period as a time of authenticity crisis.
Right.
So it's kind of a response from the religious side to the authenticity crisis.
That's interesting. Our guest is Dr. John Wu, who is with the College of Humanities and East Asian Studies. Most importantly, he's the newest Regents Professor at the University of Arizona, the highest distinction that you can get. How do the religious, philosophical, and cultural traditions of Buddhism and even Confucianism studied in your department resonate with or inform modern life, particularly here in the U.S. West or among immigrant communities? So with the influx of people coming in from East Asia and so forth, how is Buddhism specifically affecting how people are living their lives out?
I think this immigrants, you mentioned the Asian traditions or the tradition in the world, they all come to the United States, come here and provide resources. I think it's very important to bear in mind we have the tradition like Buddhism here. We studied it, preserved it in the United States, and that becomes part of the United States, part of our tradition. And in this sense, we have kind of a intense interaction with the tradition, and certainly it affects today's world, affect the contemporary thinking. And we have seen that happening right now. Some of the idea of a Buddhism, like the focus of mind, meditation, have been transformed into mindfulness movement, contemplative movement. So that's an example showing the tradition from East Asia, from Asia, and also from Buddhism had a huge impact in today's world. But only that's a part of that. And because in the tradition, like the Buddhist canon I studied, there's still lots of things not yet been studied or discovered. So I imagine in the future, Buddhist tradition, Asian tradition, going to continue to engage with today's world or the world in the future. So it's very important to promote Buddhist studies and East Asian studies, for example, studying its wisdom, philosophy, history, culture as well.
That's great. So you kind of mentioned this, but in our fast-changing digital age and in these ancient books, these texts that were written centuries ago, are there ways that your work at the UVA addresses modern ethical and social and existential questions and relating to how fast the world is moving in this digital future that we have, but yet we have these contextual texts that haven't perhaps all been mined for everything that's in them? So how do you weigh the balance between those two?
I already mentioned, Buddhist text is kind of a resources. So how to make use of that? That's always a question. So, for example, you have to kind of preserve the text. In the past, you transcribe those texts. you put in the library. But in today's world, we digitize those texts. Mm-hmm. With AI technology, we try to understand better, because the Buddhist canon, the information contained in the canon is enormous. So we need a kind of advanced technology, so AI can be used to reorganize the mm-hmm. texts and information in the Buddhist canon. So in that way, I think we get a deeper understanding of Buddhism. So then we teach. So the most important part is that we convey the message from the Buddhist canon to younger generation. So in the community, there's really the eager we can feel from young people want to learn from East Asian tradition, from Buddhism, from Buddhist wisdom, and to enrich their life. So in this way, I think it's the balance. So mm-hmm. it's the past, present, and the futures all come together in this moment.
That's great. Our guest is Dr. John Wu. He is a Regents Professor, brand new Regents Professor at the University of Arizona, recognizing his research and his contributions to the world, and a well-deserved honor. This is Wonder, and it's brought to us today by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and our friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Center for Buddhist Studies and things that are full of wonder at the University of Arizona.
Great. Come on, Dr. Ed. Here we go.
He's off.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is the Friday show where we talk about wonder at the University of Arizona. A good thing coming up a week from tomorrow is the Merry and Bright Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus Christmas Concert. Dr. Wu, we want to give you a couple tickets to the concert. Please enjoy. Give them away if you can't use them. Give them to somebody who can use them. Love to have you in there for some holiday cheer. Dr. Yang Wu is a professor in the College of Humanities East Asian Studies. He also directs the Center for Buddhist Studies, and he is a Regents Professor, the brand new Regents Professor at the University of Arizona. So we talked a little bit about the Buddhist philosophy and how East Asian calming effect perhaps can come in. So given tensions globally, political specifically, even religious and cultural, what role can academic study of Eastern philosophies and religions play in promoting understanding, peace, and cross-cultural empathy?
Yes. Thank you for the great question. And also thank you for the gift. I'm going to use that.
Good.
Yeah. So as we're doing academic research, I mean, if you look back history, so how the West, I mean, Americans or Europeans first to get to know Buddhism. So that's actually about 100 years already. So during that time, I mean, in the Victorian time, and Buddhist scholars start to realize, I mean, Buddhism originated from Indians. Right now, we all know it's Indian tradition, but back then, it's a question mark. Even mm-hmm. who Buddha is, that's a significant kind of a question. Mm-hmm. Only during the course of study, mostly study Buddhist texts, Buddhist canon, and the European scholars realize, okay, so the Buddha history is indeed a credible history. A Buddha is a historical person. And so this adds significantly to our understand of East Asian tradition, Asian tradition in general, and mm-hmm. also Buddhism. So in that sense, you can say, indeed, Buddhist tradition, you know, has been incorporated in today's history. So then there's a lot of things we can study further and do more research. And in today's world, things are really complicated. Mm-hmm. And peace, war, they come, different leadership, they come and go. So we're doing academic research. The first thing is that we try to preserve this tradition. So I mentioned mm-hmm. this a couple of times because I emphasize the resources. We need a reliable, incredible history of mm-hmm. a lot of the things where we try to understand. And in that regard, we try to first advance knowledge in the academic field, preserve them in the hierarchy, and then we engage into community and deliver the message and see how the society, the community respond to that. So while we are doing this, we do realize there are limitations right. for scholars. I mean, we have been doing research. There are lots of political issues. It's not the first time the world in a chaotic kind of situation. Right. And scholars, sometimes we feel hopeless or helpless because we have been somehow put in the ivory tower, and it's not our job description, right? Mm-hmm. So change the world, for example, right? We're hoping through our work, they're going to be inspired people. We change people's mind. I think Linda mentioned already, people's mind is very important in mm-hmm. business, in enterprise. And here we're doing the same thing. We try to preserve knowledge, preserve the wisdom, and hope it will change the mind in today's world so people can respond to the crisis we're facing. So I'm positive, I'm hopeful for the future of humanity. So I think Buddhism, East Asian tradition is part of that. So so things will work out by themselves.
Very good. For listeners who might be curious but intimidated perhaps, how can someone new begin exploring Eastern philosophy or Buddhism in a thoughtful, accessible way? And are there courses or lectures or seminars or community resources at the U of A that you would recommend?
Well, that can be hard and also can be easy. Mm-hmm. So to be easy, just look around yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to observe yourself. So a lot of times we don't have time to reflect upon ourselves. So my recommendation to young people or people know nothing is not to just get to the lectures or reading immediately, but first to stop what you're doing right now, right? Mm-hmm. We're watching cell phone, you know, the mm-hmm. social media. So that's kind of an interference. So I would suggest to stop these things. If you can do meditation, that's even better.
Right.
Just focus on your breathing and focus your mind on yourself, on your inner side. That's even better. But first of all, just stop. Stop doing a lot of kind of distractions and observe, see mm-hmm. the world, how beautiful it is. Right, mm-hmm. So see your heart, your mind. Things will come up. So I don't think the kind of a wisdom is just kind of a knowledge you learn, you memorize, you repeat. Mm-hmm. Then that will come internalized. It does not work in that way. Mm-hmm. But you need to observe the world, observe yourself. Then you read books. For example, I think reading books is still very important. It mm-hmm. is not just getting knowledge, but also spiritual. I would mm-hmm. say. So lots of visual learners in today's world,
right.
they want to see image, pictures, but also reading books, they can enrich your inner sight. So I would suggest first stop, observe, and read.
That's fantastic. Well, one thing that's definitely full of wonder at the University of Arizona is our brand new Regents Professor, Dr. Zhang Wu, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your perspective, and congratulations to you on your wonderful acknowledgement.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed.
Wonder sponsored by Caruso's and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody. We're in the season, and we're looking forward to seeing you next Friday on The Morning Voice.
Great. Thank you.